Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
You got a question for RLM?
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, and, but more importantly, a student. Always learning, always growing, always changing, always expanding. It's exhausting. Happiness Specialist. Who the hell does she think she is? Well, thank you for asking. I am so excited about today's show, and it just coincides with Halloween. What? The biggest disguise ever created. The biggest disguise ever sold. I cannot wait to share. But before I do, let me just give you a brief introduction, especially for the new people. There's new followers every week. I don't know how the hell you people are finding me, but welcome. Welcome. So, Happiness Specialist, who the hell does she think she is? Well, when I was younger, I wished for two things. You know, remember when you blow out the candles on your birthday cake and you make a wish? I always wished for the same two things. I wanted to live to my potential. I had no idea what that was going to look like or feel. I had no idea what that was. I just said, I want to live to my potential. And the second thing I wished for is I wanted to be happy. And it turns out, if you Google the five most common regrets of the dying, it was a study done by hospice nurse Bronnie Ware. The fifth biggest regret was, I wish I would have been happier. So there you go. And when I say happy, let me be very, very clear. Forget the word. I'm talking about an energy. I'm talking about a personal vibration, of contentment, a personal energy, a feeling, a vibration of contentment, of inner peace, and this blind trust, surrendering in every moment. It's a vibration of contentment. That's what I say when I say happiness. And the good news is, my dear audience, is happiness, inner peace, contentment, they're all practice skills. And if I can do it, you can do it. So what if I've been practicing for 45 years? So what? Catch up. Practice skills. Let me be even more clear. Let me share with you my definition of happiness. My definition is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace regardless of what happens. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the stories that the ego tries to sell you, it's always just vibrating peace. And that's a practice. Just like if you're looking at the World Series now, you know those baseball players didn't get to the World Series without practice. And it's the same thing for happiness. It's the same thing for inner peace. It's the practice. And the book that is now being edited, it's going to be out before the end of the year. It's called Program for Unhappiness, and I'm up to 54, did you hear me? 54 program behaviors that subtract from happiness. But they're all programs. And sharing and just eliminating the behaviors one by one, program behaviors. For an example, having expectations, worrying. Let me get back to expectations. I mean expectations about people, expectations about outcomes, expectations about self. All expectations subtract from your peace and your happiness. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens, regardless of your external circumstances. Oh, that's a lot to say, isn't it? And today, oh my goodness, we have a special guest. You heard me, a special guest. Usually it's just me barking for an hour or 45 minutes unless somebody calls in to ask questions. Oh, by the way, you see, the whole marketing thing is just not my thing. To call in and speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Or if you're on Wisdom, you just ask to join the conversation. And I welcome, number one, I welcome everyone that disagrees. Yes, please disagree. Yes. And also know that sometimes just the tone of my voice or what's coming out of my mouth may trigger you, may push a button. I got buttons. I get triggered. But that's just the buttons and the triggers are there to give you a clue as to what's deeper, what's really going on, give you a clue to a program. And in fact, it's the programming that is causing the suffering. I'm going to get very specific about the programming. You know, when I say happiness and inner peace are all practice skills, it's like any other practice. The more you commit to the practice, the better the results. So the question to ask yourself is, are you ready to prioritize that vibration, that energy of contentment? And I mean regardless of what happens. And only you, my dear audience, can answer that question. And so the first part of the practice is to gradually eliminate behaviors that have been proven to subtract from happiness. And they are, I've got 54 of them, and there's different levels. Level 1, level 2, level 3. Level 1 are very simple to understand. Blaming anyone for how you're feeling. Blaming your circumstances for how you're feeling. Comparing yourself to others. Trying to control something or anyone that's outside of yourself. And guess what? All the work, all the practice, and that's why I don't have any friends. That's why people go running away from me as soon as I walk in. All the practice is done in the mirror. What? You heard me. The practice is done in the mirror. That's how powerful you are. So again, the number to call in, speak with me live, is area code 646-564-9619. And if you're on Wisdom, just ask to join. Now, today we have a special guest. He goes by his initial CEC. I'm just going to call him CC. And he is my best friend. We've known each other, 27, 28 years? It's been a long time. I stopped counting. And one of the reasons why I asked him to join is because I'm moving and he's helping me pack boxes and just assisting with the big move from one place to another. It's going to happen in a couple of days. And so we were having a conversation about this ego. Now we're going to get into today's topic, the biggest disguise ever sold. It is Halloween. I don't know how many of you celebrate Halloween, but I remember celebrating Halloween up until my mother told me, you're too old. My mother told me, I was in high school, and she says, you're too old to go trick-or-treating. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm too old? So she put the kibosh on my Halloween, my Halloween door-to-door, no, I was going to say picketing, my Halloween door-to-door trick-or-treating. And I'm still traumatized by it, if you haven't realized. Still traumatized. But this topic, the biggest disguise ever sold. Can you guess what we're talking about? And before I go on, I'm going to introduce CC. Come on up, and I just wanted to share with the audience. We're just talking right here. I just wanted to share with the audience what happened yesterday when we were talking in the car. We were speaking in the car, and we were having a conversation about how you were feeling about what I said. Remember that? And you know, that's another thing. the practice is, one of the program behaviors that subtracts is taking anything personally. I don't care what anybody tells you, if they're calling you by your name, this is an impersonal universe. Look out, look to nature. It's all impersonal. There's nothing personal about what's going on in nature. When the animals eat each other, it's just hungry. It's not personal. But let's get back. So you want to. So we were talking about. We were having a discussion about identity, and let me just speak for myself here. That identity, the Rebecca L. Norrington. I even have to have the initial L. Rebecca Norrington. That identity. Oh, I know her so well. Her likes, her dislikes, the things that trigger her, the things that bother her, annoy her, make her sad. And Cece, can you share some of your CC identity features?
Yeah, I'll share. I've gotten to know myself more and more here in the last few years, and I've discovered that the self that I know is my identity, and my identity is Sid E. Cartwright. I'm a sensitive man. I'm a hard worker. I'm responsible. I'm a good friend.
You said you like sad songs.
I was getting to that.
Oh.
That was the part I don't like to talk about. Okay. I am addicted. I revealed to her the other day that I am addicted to sad songs. And what do I mean by that? I mean any story that you bring to me of your mistreatment, you've been betrayed, you've been left, now you're lonely. Of course, there is an identity within me that continues, that I'm drawn to that type of subject. I've been becoming more and more aware of myself, my thought process, my thought patterns. And as a result, I've discovered that Sid Cartwright truly believes that he is the entity. He is real, and not only is he real, this part I haven't even revealed to her, to Rebecca, but Sid believes that his opinion is that of God. And when others don't have the same opinion or don't have the same perspective or don't have the same values or habits, I judge them as off or wrong. And recently, she's talking about Halloween. I've taken that mask off because there's another level to my understanding. There's another mind. There's another identity, and that is the identity of the universe. So that's where I am in my life now. I'm connecting. I'm still Sid Cartwright because I have to function and operate within this world. But he is no longer the supreme opinion. I have another source that I can go to, and I'm developing it as we speak.
Let me say this too. When I use the term, or use the term universe, you use whatever term you want. Some people rather the word God, source, higher power, spirit, whatever term you want to use is fine. And really the practice is focusing on the energy. And see that even that can trigger. I've spoken to a lot of people, even using, I don't use the term universe, they don't like it, or I don't use the term God, they don't like it. So even that notice your triggers and notice who is being triggered. What entity is being triggered? Is that a universal side? Is that a universal self? Or is that a self from the ego? And if you're asking me, anytime I'm, well, you didn't ask me, but I'm telling you, anytime I'm triggered, bothered, I know that's not my higher self. I know that's not the universe. The universe isn't bothered by anything. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. And so that's just discovering. You asked, we were talking the other day, and you said, I asked you a question. I said, how are you? And you said, who are you asking? Remember that?
I remember that. And that question, because I had, before she asked that question, I had been going through this identity check, this identifying with Sid Cartwright as opposed to identifying with the universe. And so I'm separating the two because Sid Cartwright, I'll be honest, he's seldom happy. He has moments, and what a nice moment. But he is constantly judging each and every moment. And if that moment doesn't live up to his expectations or his desires or what he believes it should be like, Sid Cartwright can become depressed, sad, those type of emotions. By identifying with the universe, I've separated the two. The universe is flowing with every moment. The universe embraces every moment. The universe created the moment. The universe knows what is about to happen, and it has accepted the experience as something it truly wants to experience. And it experiences it with a peaceful mind. And that is where I'm moving in the direction of not. I'm not saying that I'm completely separated from Sid Cartwright, but I'm aware of him now, and I'm also aware of my higher mind. And I'm gravitating more and more to that higher mind because the higher mind is always okay with the moment. The higher mind does not know what pain or suffering is. This life is an experience. And when the experience is over, my belief is the universe is a singularity. There's not many different, it's a singularity. And that means we're all a part of that singularity. And at the end of this all, I become again a part of the singularity. So I'm embracing each moment now with a different mindset. And
with a different practice. And so I want to add to your, when you said this life, what I like to share, this is what I practice, is that life is an experience without judgment. The resistance comes when I'm judging that this moment needs to be different. I'm judging that this moment needs to be more. I'm judging that something's wrong in this moment. And I'll just come out, you know, this house that I'm moving into, it's an old house, and everything had to be gutted all the way down to the studs, the floors taken out, the everything. I mean, closets open up. Asbestos, I mean, it gutted all the way. So replacing everything from a light switch to a fan to the flooring to the vanities to a shower, I mean, everything has to be done. And it's been a 3-month project. And, you know, when I was, if I was younger, this is a story. Here we go. My ego loves this one. Well, if I was younger, it would be a lot more fun. See, you see that Rebecca Norrington identity, that what Rebecca thinks. If I was younger, and my ego cannot find anything good about moving into this house when everything in it, I picked it out myself. I mean, I'm up here. Rebecca Norrington is up there crying and stressing over the correct dimmer. Oh, the dimmer, look at the dimmer, the switch on the dimmer is rough. It hurts my finger. I can't even believe it. But it's the truth. I mean, find it. Rebecca Norrington has to have this identity. I'm saying Rebecca, and I'm separating myself from her when I can, because that identity, what did we say today? That the ego, well, we'll get to that, but I have to remember that one. Communication. Why didn't the electrician communicate? I mean the smallest thing, from a light fixture to the setting of the lights, the fluorescent lights. You know those new lights now. I mean, I'm from the Flintstone era. The new lights now, they've got 5 different settings, and of course the electrician set all the settings on fluorescent lights. Now at 67, I don't want any fluorescent lights. That I don't need to see any more wrinkles. But and just the fact that Rebecca and oh, by the way, and Rebecca Norrington told, you know, she expressed herself, this is what I like, very nicely, maybe once, maybe twice, 5 times, but after 5 times, why aren't they listening? I'm telling you, this entity, this ego, this identity of Rebecca Norrington, there are moments of contentment, but they don't last. And that's because when I identify with that, how is there ever peace? You said something about the ego, about how the ego gets its feelings hurt because it's powerless. Can you express that, please?
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that, but right before, because this leads right into it, is that how do you know when it's the ego as opposed to the universal mind? I had to figure this out, because I'm telling you, my ego is so smart and I am so connected to it that it knows my button. So this is what the universe gave me to be able to identify. When you can't come up with another perspective on the issue, on the situation, there is no other way to look at it but the way I'm looking at it. That's when I know my ego is making the calls. And I'll tell you this: when the universe is when I am following that mind, when I am connected to who I truly am, which is the universe, then my thoughts on all situations have been peaceful. Even if my daughter is out and she hasn't called and, oh, this is way past her time, there was a time in my life, oh, my stomach would start hurting. My nerves and blood pressure is up. Nothing is right. With the universal mind, and that was only one perspective that I could have if she didn't call. I could never say to myself, oh, she's fine. She just didn't have time to call. She's doing whatever she's doing. I never talk like that when my ego is in charge. When I lock on to an idea that something is wrong, this is not like her. All of a sudden, I am not able to think of anything other than that. Just pay attention to it. It's something that I've been practicing, and I've learned. I'm able to distinguish and follow. Well, sometimes I follow the ego, let me be perfectly honest. But there are times when I'm aware and I follow the universe.
Let me ask you this. We were talking about this yesterday, about one of your triggers or one of your the Sid Cartwright trigger is speak to me a certain way, speak to me with respect, speak to me with a certain tone, and how you in the past demanded, commanded, or desired that. You know, this thing about disrespect, it doesn't exist. If you can expand on that, this insisting people talk to you a certain way.
Yeah, well, you know me well. Since you've met me, that has been my 20-something years, plus years. That has been it's kryptonite to me, I'll just be honest, to Sid Cartwright. he believes within his heart that all people should speak to him with respect. He believes that they should speak to him kindly, with a soft tone, with a respectful tone, and that their actions should be one when they're with him should be of actions of respect. It's very important to him. I don't know when it started, but I can't remember the time that Sid Cartwright fell any other way. So the interspersed has been taking me through some lessons, and one of the lessons that they've given me is this. If you had enough, do you believe the universe needs the respect of anyone? Thought about it, had to come to the conclusion. I don't think the universe needs anyone to respect. As a matter of fact, I don't think that the average person even thinks of God, the universe, and shows appreciation on a daily basis, even just for the sunshine or the rain or the wind or whatever the weather may be, just the weather alone. But when the universe looks at a situation, the mind is completely open, and we're having an experience here, and this experience doesn't involve other people. The universe told me directly, you respect yourself. What you're looking for in others is right here within you. Once your respect for self is complete, you won't need or desire respect for anyone else. Now, I'm going to tell you, this lesson has been going on now for about 3 years. I'm not good with time. Rebecca knows that. I'll say 3 years. It could have been 3 days ago. But I'm going to say 3 years at least. I've been on this journey of trying to alleviate this desire to have respect from anyone outside of myself. And that's interesting. The ego doesn't require that it respects me. No. The ego talks to me. It criticizes me on a daily basis. Constantly. Things that I'm like, and most people, I've heard this come out of a lot of people's mouths, that I'm harder on myself than anyone else is. Well, so I have this internal disrespect going. And the universe has revealed to me, you eliminate that, and your desire and need for people to speak to you in a certain tone, certain way, certain manner, certain words will be gone. Now, I've been working on it. I didn't believe it exactly, but I'm going to tell you something. Something's happened this week where I am able, and Rebecca has witnessed it, I am able, it's a miracle. That's all I can tell you. Well, I am able to listen to a person speak to me disrespectfully and not take it personal.
Well, let me talk about it, because I'm the one that's saying disrespectful things. It's me. And it's not even disrespectful, but my tone, especially when I'm in this, I call it my work mode, and where I have to get something done. Of course, that's just another excuse. But I just go, this Rebecca goes into this mode of got to get it done, business, let's go. And then my best friend is a clumsy slowpoke, and, you know, the
very clumsy.
And very slow. And so the combination is interesting. It's interesting dynamic. But I want to go back to wanting and desiring people to speak to you with a certain tone or a certain way. And I shared with you, I've shared before, that I could care less if somebody's yelling at me. I don't care how they talk to me, because that desire for someone to respect me doesn't exist in my life, in Rebecca Norton. She just doesn't have it. She's got a lot of other shit, trust me. A lot of other stuff, but that, oh, you have to speak to me a certain way. You have to talk to me a certain way. No, you can yell, you can scream, you can cry, you can curse. I'm going to be fine. But isn't it interesting how the different programs work with different people. I say we are as different as our fingerprints. And so what bothers, triggers Rebecca Norrington could, this guy laughs. And I'm thinking the end of the world. But he's laughing, and I'm laughing at his stuff, and he's laughing at mine. And so that's one of the practices. Whatever is going on, there is a program behavior that says this is serious and this is important. And that program that says this is serious and this is important is a guarantee to rob you of any peace, any inner peace, and any contentment. No. Moving into a home where there's no appliances, in fact, yesterday the toilet was stopped up. There's only one toilet, and it was stopped up. No appliances, no stove, no, well, there's a refrigerator in the garage. That's the only saving. No stove, no microwave, no dishwasher. Now I don't even know if I have sinks yet. And why? Why did I move in now? Well, because I asked the gentleman that's overseeing this project 3 months ago, are you going to be able to have all of this completed by October 31st? And everybody said, yes, I'm going to be there every day. It's going to get done. And, of course, it's not. It's not. And so this is just challenged, and all of your challenges are disguised gifts. This is just challenged, this Rebecca Norrington, to practice more trust that you are supposed to be there early, air quotes early. You're supposed to be in that house with all of the inconveniences. Thank you.
But it was interesting, in that same conversation, I knew that she had the universal energy flowing because she came up right in the middle of, this is a disaster, the house, I don't like it, I don't want to live here, why did I that? Right in the middle of all of that, she started naming qualities of the home and the location that were pleasing. The atmosphere, where it's located, the things she liked about it. She was able to, like what I'm trying to say, I know it was universal because it wasn't the same perspective that she had when she first began to talk. All I ask of myself is this. The circle is 360 degrees, which means every time you move a degree, you are looking at something totally different. I don't care if you're still looking at the sun. You're looking at a different part of the sun. And as you continue to turn, the sun will vanish and you'll be looking at something else. 360 perspectives of the same situation. That is the challenge that I give myself. And I have to say, it was a breath of fresh air to hear her say, I mean, you know, and that's all ego too, a breath of fresh air. But it was a breath of fresh air because I knew it was a universal energy pulling her. And that universal energy led her to find what was good about it. And, okay, and the ego takes over and she goes back, well, I don't like it, but I know the energy is there. And I could feel the gratefulness or whatever that word represents. It was an energy of positive vibration.
It was finally an acceptance. And see, the practice is acceptance. Acceptance of self, acceptance of the moment, acceptance of everything. And so the disguise, the biggest disguise ever sold, is that you are your ego. You are your thoughts. You are your stories. No, you're not. You're more than that. There is a higher self. And so the practice is to remember that you, I don't even want to say small, the word isn't small, to remember the difference and to witness. I witnessed that Rebecca Norrington, this just dangling by a thread, finding so many things wrong. That's what that identity loves to do. And I guarantee if I have a separate identity, so do you, my dear audience. And that's the challenge, to start and separate yourself from the lower consciousness self, or whatever you want to call it. Call it whatever you want. But there's two entities, and which one are you going to gravitate to? Which one are you going to feed? Which one are you going to focus on? You were talking about the ego saying it doesn't have any power.
We were saying, okay, so she's selected, the home has been selected that she's going to move into. But she doesn't like the home and very little about it.
But finding fault with so many things. This is old. Anyway, just finding fault. Finding fault, and who is finding fault with it? That's the question.
Well, that's where our conversation led. So, but you're moving in it. Yeah. Well, what does that say? That says, and I've been in the same situation a million times, that says this. The universe wants to experience what it's like to live in that home. And the ego has no power to stop it. You say, oh, no, I can pull back on the contract. If the universe wants you to live in that home, you are going to live in that home. If the universe, I went to college for 3 years, and I was studying to be a school teacher. I could not wait to get my first fifth grade class for the entire year and have them sit down and listen to me. And I couldn't wait to teach them all the things that I would have loved to have learned when I was in the fifth grade. It was a desire in my heart. Oh, I wanted it so bad. And that's where I was moving in that direction to accomplish that. And then something happened. We won't talk about it. Financial.
Yeah, you can talk about it. Just financial.
Financial issues. It was during the year that the Pell Grant was eliminated from the federal government, I depended on the Pell Grant to subsidize my schooling. Anyway, long story short, had to go back home. My ego had a desire to be a school teacher, but the universe, I became a police officer for 29 years, a field that I had no desire in my life to ever want to partake. But because I came home and I was off my mother's insurance and I had no money, I looked in the newspaper. Back then they had newspapers. I looked in the newspaper and I started looking at a job. And it was the highest paying job with the benefits that I needed, medical, dental, so forth. I said, you know what? I'll give this a shot. Not what I want to do, but I'll figure it out. And what I'll do is I'll go back to school later. Long story short, all I'm trying to tell you is this. What you're doing, the situation you're in, is the situation that the universe wants to experience. The ego has desires and has dreams and it has things that it wants to do and accomplish, bucket list, all of the. You know who makes the bucket list? The universe. You will do, you will have the experiences that the universe has chosen for you to have. And that is what's going to happen. And sometimes it just, the ego's desires coincide with the universe's desires. Sometimes that happens, and sometimes it doesn't. There's going to be a team on that field that is going to lose and go home. After all of their hard work at the end of the season, you're going to go home in second place. That is going to happen to one of the two teams on the field. And your desire to win the championship isn't going to produce anything unless the universe desires that too and it just coincides. But don't misunderstand. The universe doesn't yield to the ego. It just so happens that sometimes the ego's desires match what the universe wants to happen. The ego has no power.
Oh, perfect. Let me see. Okay. Come on up, Mary Kay. I just looked down and said that saw that you wanted to say something. Come on up. And thank you for joining. Thank you for joining.
This is my first time really listening to you. Five minutes is never enough, but I started listening about a house, and this is my first time being a tenant. And I could find a million things wrong. but at the same time, I'm loving it. And, you know, as the officer was talking about the universe and the ego and the id and this and all this is just more than even 365 degrees.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes, you are right.
That there is so much that we don't know not only of the universe, ourselves and others, and we're never going to master it.
Hold on a second. You're giving me chills right now. You're giving me chills. My whole body is chilling up. My whole body is chilling up because I get chills when I hear the truth or speak the truth. We were talking about that the other day, about the infinite possibilities. Oh, this is what you said. What we don't know.
There's
but,
so much
yes.
in my little world.
And I totally agree with you. There is so much we don't know. Listen, my mind is wired differently than Rebecca's mind. Your mind is wired. So the experience that I take in, how my brain function, how I deal with fight and flight, or what, all of those things are individually based because the mind is set up individually.
I'm going to let you have more time, Mary Kay, but I want to say something. Because he is a police officer, this guy is always talking about, well, that's not safe. No, this isn't safe. Don't do that. That's not safe. And I'm up here. He calls me reckless. But totally, so, yeah. But know that each person is so different, and the communication, even if I'm using words that people understand, the communication is like speaking another language.
Yes, and this is something I think law enforcement, I have a couple of family members, they are not talking to me right now, but needs to understand that every single person expresses themselves differently verbally, visually, linguistically. Our society needs to know some of us speak multiple languages and cannot be masters of, one language. We cannot be.
I agree. Look, if you look at the color red, I'm not going to see the same exact color red that you see.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, that right there tells us, look, there are different opinions. There are different ways to look at even the color. I mean, the same color's red. She looks at it. She sees something different than I see. Come on now. That tells you right there. There are many different perspectives. And so the way she expresses herself, I'm telling you right now, there have been times when I've been broken. No, just go ahead.
But you know what?
But,
I got to tell you, to be broken, and I think we're all broken, and most of us are shattered, scattered. But that is what makes our experience so vital. We're not masters. We cannot be. These titles, it's great to have a title. It's great to have an education.
Hold on. I'm going to stop you on that, and I want you to come back. I'll let you come back. But it's great to have a title. It's great to have an education. That's a program statement. It's a meaning that it's not great for everybody to have a title.
No.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to get to.
Okay, go ahead. And I want you to come back. Oh, good. She's coming back. Let's see. What's this? Let's see. Hold on, don't go anywhere. I'm trying to push this button and push that button. Hold on, I'm trying to find a button. Uh-oh. Don't go anywhere. She's challenged. Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, we got you back. We got you back, Mary. Yay, Mary Kay is coming back. Go for it, Mary Kay. You're back.
Getting chills. Now I'm getting the chills. And I'm going to tell you something that happened to me yesterday. So we all have these titles. Society places us into levels and all these kind of things. In every field. And it's great. Really, truly is great, and my passion was law, but never got anywhere with that. But I think one of the things that we lack in our society is to listen to, I sent this to Daryl yesterday, to amateurs, to somebody off the street who's a nobody.
Well,
those people sometimes have answers that really needs to be heard.
I agree. I mean, look at things. Yeah, I agree with you. However, the way the world is structured is perfect.
It is?
Yeah, it's perfect because even if the anonymous aren't being heard and they're only being heard by five or six people, then that is the will of the universe. And if the people that are being heard are unconscious or going about it the wrong way or however you want to judge it, then that is a part of the universe. I am embracing all of it, the entire thing. Both, you know, that's what I always tell. I'm embracing both sides.
I embrace all sides.
There you go,
try to understand all sides. And sometimes, you know, that works against me.
Well, you
it
said,
does work.
Well, you said something earlier, though. You said, I don't know, and I'm something, and I don't know. And so that practicing I don't know, and then being okay, it's another practice, being okay with uncertainty.
Not knowing
is another practice.
Yes.
But who wants to know? You know who wants to know? The ego wants to know. The ego needs to know the future. The ego needs to know. And so I'm telling my ego, take a break. I'm putting it on life support. Take a break. You got a break. I got this.
And there are tragedies. Let me just say that. There are tragedies, things that I call tragedies. I call them tragedies. Because I've been programmed to judge them as tragedies. That is a tragedy. This is good. This is bad. So forth and so on. But with this embracing this universal mind, everything that's happening is supposed to be happening.
Yes. You know, the other day I was sitting on my balcony and I looked upon, you know, it was dark and I think 3 a.m. I woke up and I went outside and I was just sitting and looking at the sky and there were so many stars and the moon was shining and they're so vast. They're just sitting there. And it's like, who's watching? Are they watching me or am I watching them or is there, what exactly is going on with the human, who wrote that book, The Human Tragedy, I think Homer? Well, I'm not getting into that, but, you know, life is not perfect. It's a beautiful imperfection.
I'm glad you put the word beautiful in, because the universe is having the experience that it wants to have. It is having, the will of the universe is being done all of the time. I've embraced that concept, and not only is the universe's will being done, but I'm a part of the universe, so my will is being done. Everything is in order, and there are no accidents. We are all moving in the direction that the universe chooses for us to move in.
You know what? You know what, Mary Kay? You have been such a gift to the show today and your contribution.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. I mean, I've gotten chills, and I just love connecting with you, and just thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and I'll continue to listen.
Oh, good, because you know what we're going to – oh, I have a question. Is there free will, Mary Kay? Is there free will?
You know, I really don't even know what free will is.
Ooh, here we go. Here we go.
I swear.
Here we go. Hold on a second. We have another person so we can get that topic. We have another person waiting. Okay. John Bush, you are live. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Let's go with your comment or question.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I've been listening, and I'm trying to grab the concept of universe. What is the universe? Like, what is the meaning to it, or what do you mean by the universe?
All right. Well, some people call it the universe, God, the creator, the beginning of it all. And I don't look at the universe as if created Adam and Eve and things of that nature. The universe created
is the beginning of all.
Is the beginning of all.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because a lot of people don't like certain words, the universe, God, whatever word. So I really urge that the words, I would just say the beginning and the creator.
Everything.
And I can use the word universe and God interchangeably, easy, for me.
Do you believe in a single, do you believe that the universe started somewhere? I mean, do you think there is a beginning, or how do you, what is your thought on it? Hello?
Oh, I asked because I'm trying to gather from my perspective is that if we point to the universe as creating all and we are a part of that universe, and then we go within ourselves, nitpick at what is good and beneficial, that at the same time defeats the purpose of viewing the universe of creating all. So that, and for me, if we look at our ego and go, oh, our ego is this and that, that defeats the purpose of the ego. I mean, the universe, I'm sorry.
Well,
so when we talk about the universe creating all of the things, when we go deep within ourselves to nitpick, what are we really doing?
Well,
are we trying to break apart the universe, or what are we doing when we do that?
Okay, well, I'll say this. The universe created man. Man has been created. He's here. We know that. Okay, so, and we also can, from science, we can study that there is a subconscious mind, there is a conscious mind. These are scientific facts. We know these things. Now, so why create the ego? Why did the universe create the ego? Well, when man first started out, without an ego, your desire to survive would lessen. You would walk off cliffs if you chose to jump in the water. You would do the things that you would do if there was no death involved. But the ego understands that, hey, that's why, and it's interesting how the mind forms. By the year 7, that is the completion of your conscious mind. But up until that point, your conscious mind isn't completely developed. You're relying strictly, and that's something that I'm interested in that topic. I would invite you to look at. Because the subconscious mind is the only part of the mind that is developed. It starts from the beginning all the way the rest of our lives. It never turns off. So I'm not against the ego. It has its purpose. But it is a part of the universe. I mean, the universe created it. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. It is not the enemy here. It is the challenge here. It is the challenge to be able to have an ego and at the same time be able to relate to the universal mind as well as the mind that you have. And so I don't look at the ego as an enemy. Without it, life would totally totally different. And my desire to live, I believe, would totally change. However, I understand that it has limitations, and I also believe that the universe has created that limitation so that we could rise to a higher level of consciousness.
And one more thing, and I want you to come back, John Bush, if you have time. I want you to come back. But can you answer this question about what is the subconscious and what does the subconscious do? Because you say subconscious, but what is it?
Well, are you familiar with the subconscious, John?
Okay, he's going to come back. Hopefully he can come back. Okay, hold on. Let me do push this, push that. Okay, yeah. Can you just describe it?
Okay, so the subconscious mind is, there's a conscious mind, there's a subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind is the part of the mind that takes in all of the information. It is the part of the mind that operates all the functions of the body, the digestive system, the nervous system, and so forth and so on. It is a part of the mind, but one of the things that the subconscious doesn't do is it doesn't have the ability to determine what is right and what is wrong. That is not its purpose. Its purpose is for information. And that's by developing all the way up until 7, you do not have a conscious mind isn't completely developed. That means all of the information that you're taking in from birth on, you're not deciphering what is good and what is bad. You're when they tell you there's a Santa Claus, Santa Claus is real. Whatever you're being told, the subconscious mind takes in and develops from there. And it stores the information. And then once the conscious mind is developed completely by the age of 7, now it has, they say that at the seventh month, the baby starts to feel anxiety, the scientists. They say the baby starts to feel anxiety, and that, why is that? Because it at that point, it separates itself from its mother, all the people around, up until then,
because I just remember you telling me that up until then the baby thinks it's one with everything. The baby thinks it's one with all. The baby doesn't think of itself as separate. And so that's what we're saying, coming back to that point.
And she what she said is exactly right. So you're one with the universe in the beginning. You're one with everybody, everything. You see the grass, you think you're the grass. You think you're the mother, you think that you're the nurse. Everything is connected. But once the ego is developed, that's the part of the mind for survival for Sid Cartwright or whoever you may be. That now I become an individual. And so that is the difference.
Okay, go, John Bush. Go, John Bush. Your turn.
Yeah, I don't know if I have enough time, but...
You can come back if you want.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just going to try to follow up here. So you acknowledge that the ego has its limitations and the reasoning why it's even there in comparison to the universe. So with that being said, what is the challenge the universe is trying to offer when you see the negative and the positive within the ego? You acknowledge that it has its limitation as a negative, and you acknowledge it's positive. What do you think is the challenge or the strive for when it offers the polarity of those extremes? Would you think that it's pointing back to being aware of you already being as one? Although you are split into these two different things, the challenge would be not going to more of the negative or positive, because that contrast offer one thing is the realization that you're already one. So you're striving for, with the polarities here, you're striving for, and the challenge is to get to the understanding and the, how do I put this, the relativity. So that awareness of, yes, I have the limitation of the ego, and also I have that positive acknowledgement of the reasoning why the ego is there. So what would the challenge be to get to that stability? I think the universe in itself always strives for that stability if I'm coherent.
You know, yes, you are, and if you have time, you can come back if you want to, if you're free. But, you know, this is the thing. One of the things I do on this show, and I really like to, I mean, we could go on with philosophical talks and all that, but this show is about what's the problem, what's the solution, meaning every day in the moment. So give me an example about, just giving or sharing an example. Okay. Let me see. Of course, I've shared this a million times. Do I have to share it a million times more?
One more.
Okay. and so what I this is me. What I really, we could talk and talk, but I'm going to ask you, if you want to share, what are your triggers? What bothers you? What annoys you? What angers you? What do you judge? And so with all that said, anger, annoyance, triggers, judging, always subtracts from your inner peace, subtracts from contentment. So my whole purpose is to experience more contentment for as many moments as possible. And that is a practice. So what I share is all of the program behaviors. Let's go back to free will. Do you believe that there's free will?
No, I don't believe that there is a free will.
Okay.
I know that there is an illusion of free will.
I love that. Now I got chills again. Yes, an illusion of free will.
Right.
Yes. So if you want to share, if you feel comfortable or inspired, scratch being comfortable, if you've inspired. So what are your challenges? I mean, I could share you a million people listening to me. What are your challenges? What are your life challenges? Not other people. What are your specific life challenges?
That's my point. I don't really have a specific challenge with myself. If I'm coherent, I know that every day I will run into my negatives, and I'm fine with that. That's my point. I'm good with that. Like, I'm going to run into things that is going to rub me or trigger me in some type of way. And when I enter that place, I don't kind of like beat myself up because, oh, I'm feeling this type of way. Those are emotions and my feelings that I have. Now, the best way I can overcome that is to take a deeper dive within myself to try to understand that.
No, right.
And I hate to speak on it, but in ways I am cynical. It's not just me. I am an environment that is created by everyone. So also that's a part of the equation. I have to acknowledge that to move forward. So sometimes I'm going to have to look at another person and hold them responsible for their own actions, hold them accountable for their own actions.
Let me just say this though, but they don't have free will. So you're holding a person accountable that doesn't have free will. So break that down for me.
It's not free will. If we're putting in free will, my answer to that will be to understand. So as you spoke about looking at the picture with different perspectives,
right?
Yeah, that is totally, that's it right there.
Okay,
that's
right
it. But do not weigh so much on a different perspective. It's not just your perspective. Mm-hmm. Add another perspective to see the bigger picture.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing that I see that people struggle with is I have my perspective, and I'm just going to leave it at that. You can't change that. You won't move that. But you have to add the other part to it to get to the understanding to see the bigger picture. And that understanding points to free will, like the illusion of free will. It brings us together in unity. It acknowledges and understands that we're already one across the board, if I'm coherent.
Right on.
But see, you said something earlier about looking at someone else and holding them responsible. The universe isn't holding anybody else responsible. So this holding somebody responsible for their behavior, that number one, now I'm in their business. Number two, their journey is their journey, is their journey, and it's perfect. I'm not holding, if I try to hold somebody responsible, I'm already out of my lane.
And just add on that, John, and I want you to follow up. It's just that, don't get me wrong, I don't believe that you should have the murderer walking up and down the street. If you know that he's murdered someone, I think probably you should probably put him in an institution. However, I believe that I can put him in the institution and not judge him. That's all I'm saying. And why am I putting him in the institution? For the other's safety. But to call him a bad person or the act is bad, and when I already know that the way the mind is wired, everyone's mind is wired in a different way, and we all have different thought patterns based on our culture and our religion and our upbringing and all the programming that is out there. I like the fact that you accept that there is no free will, and I was just I understand holding people responsible, brother. I feel that. However, the more connected I get, the more I'm able to release that. I'm not holding you responsible for any of your actions. Because when you understand how the mind is developed and set up, you have very little control, I believe, over what you do, unless you tap into that higher mind. Well, can I get your opinion on that?
Oh, this is Mary Kay.
I held on to one thing. I don't know what his name is, the gentleman that's speaking.
Oh, Sid.
Also, pardon me?
Yeah, go ahead. Sid is my name.
Sid. Yeah. Okay, you said one thing, and I have a question about that. So your unconscious is developed from the day of your birth to the age of 7.
The subconscious mind is developed at birth.
Subconscious.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. So it's developed and you're gathering all this information. Then all of a sudden at the age of around 7, your
conscious mind is fully developed.
In a totally different environment, situation, and then you have to rewire and relearn everything. And what if this is a continuous cycle? Then what happens to that person?
How does that person
develop?
Yeah, this is another hypothetical. We really don't do hypotheticals. Hypotheticals really don't get anywhere.
It's something so interesting, but I'm sorry, the question that Sid asked, and I'll try to respond to best of my knowledge before I make that hypothetical question.
What's the question? You want me to repeat the question?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we have the understanding that there is no free will, based on how the mind develops in the culture and all the different programs that we have.
Yeah.
If we acknowledge that as okay, I accept that as reality. If that is accepted as reality, then holding another person responsible, I'm not saying to separate them from society when they're not able to function within it. That's not what I'm talking about. But holding, for example, holding Rebecca responsible when she sees maybe a project that I've done that isn't done properly or so forth, and she responds in a way that, hey, she may respond like, hey, I don't like it when people talk to me like that, but the tone may be not what I want, the posture may not be what I want, but to hold her responsible when I understand how that her upbringing or her what all her different programming kind of led to that type of way of expressing herself. That's when I have an issue. I'm not saying I don't hold her responsible for any of her actions. I hold myself responsible for, by the way, I interpret and accept those actions.
Yes, interpretation of an individual is our responsibility, not the individual's responsibility.
I agree with you.
Earlier today, we were talking about, someone was talking about projection. Okay, so you project, but what is the reaction?
Mary Kay, you want to share with the audience what are some of your challenges? We can work through all that. Any challenges or what bothers you, annoys you, what irritates you, what angers you, what saddens you? You want to share a current challenge, and we can get to a solution.
Sure. I've been a victim of domestic violence.
Okay.
To the point that I thought that was normal.
Mm-hmm.
It started, and this had nothing to do with a husband and a wife. This was family.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my challenge, and that is a quest.
Okay. So I want you to come back and ask a specific question. How do I, whether it's how do I let go, how do I stop thinking about it, how do I respond, a specific question, how do I? And she's going to come back. I hope she comes back. Come back. So one of the things I love conversation, but conversation just for conversation, especially people, you know, asking questions, how do I find peace in the middle of a world that's chaos and war. That kind of question. So your question, Mary Kay, is how do I
personally respond? I personally go there with sympathy.
No. I mean, so you have a challenge. What is your challenge? How do I? In other words, let's see. And I didn't mean to say no, but I'm trying to dig something out of you. So if a challenge is, you said family members aren't speaking to you. How do I find peace with people not speaking to me? How do I find peace with an abuser? It's like a question like that.
How do I find peace? First of all, I believe that I have to find peace within myself, and it
yeah.
is a lot of work. I've been in therapy. I am for therapy. I think it's great. And a lot of therapies standardize.
How do I
respond?
How do you respond? Go ahead.
How do I respond? Maybe I do become defensive.
Okay.
I do raise my voice.
Okay.
Maybe I do make judgment.
Okay.
But
perfect. Let's stay there. Perfect. Oh, I could just kiss you right now and hug you. Well, not kiss you. I don't know you that well.
I'm gonna hug you.
So how do I let go of being defensive? How do I stop judge myself if I'm yelling? How that kind of stuff is that? Yeah.
How do I stop certain responses
that have been learned?
It is learned in culture. It is learned in family structure.
Mm-hmm.
It is learned in education. It is learned behavior. So
yeah.
how do I unlearn?
Yeah. Well,
how do I unlearn?
Let me respond. Let me say something, Mary, real quick.
Okay.
And the way you, I'm going to give you. To me, my first step in becoming eliminate an emotion that I don't want to have anymore, which is like I'm holding a grudge, I haven't forgiven the person. I am not a hard worker when it comes to the spiritual thing. What I do, I've been led to do, is I'm aware of it. I'm become aware that I do have this desire to be spoken to with respect, and acknowledge it as if, okay, and there are other perspectives in the world. There's other perspectives and there's other ways of looking at that. And the first perspective I want to tap into is the universe's perspective, what I feel, you know, how I feel the universe. It's just an entity that doesn't desire respect. So I becoming aware that you have the issue is 50% of the work. And to be aware when it happens. So that is something
Let me say something. You know, this is what you told me a long time ago, Mary Kay. You said awareness is the work.
Right.
That's it. So you're already aware.
Awareness is the work.
And so this is what I do. This is what I practice. Whatever I need assistance with, which is all the time, hands up, palms up, outside, I ask the universe, how do I let go? You know what I ask the universe? I ask the universe, for how do I let go of being irritated? How do I let go of being annoyed? How do I let go of the things that bothered me for years and decades and decades? How do I let go of that? And then I let go, and the answers always come. You know, when you ask, you always receive. And so the question,
yes,
I ask the universe, let the universe do the job. I don't have to do anything, but just
I'm just a small speck.
Yes.
That's why I go out at night to my balcony, 3, 4 a.m. And it's, you know, I just wake up that time automatic. And it's a wonder, and it is peaceful. And I gain some good energy.
You know, it's just such a, here we go. John came back. You know, this is such a good exchange. Let John come back. So you had a question for him, or he had a question for you.
And there, John, can you, I know it's been a while since you know, we talked, but do you remember the question that I had for you?
Because we're old and we forget. Every moment.
Well, I still remember it. I just know I didn't need you to repeat it. Or do you feel like answering it? Hello?
If you want to ask the question again.
Okay.
Sorry.
What I was asking is the so when the person does it, acknowledging and accepting, and I have, that people really don't have free will, that it's an illusion. Well, then I wanted to know. Holding a person without free will responsible for their actions. I wanted to get your opinion on that.
I would like to say that it's, for me, the illusion of and not having a free will is necessary. The illusion of having free will is necessary. I think that illusion is necessary for life.
Okay.
To live.
I agree with that, but I mean, holding someone responsible for their actions when I don't believe they have free will. I wanted to get your opinion on holding a person responsible when we realize they don't have free will. Is that something that you agree with or disagree with?
Yeah, so I disagree to an extent. When I hold someone accountable or responsible, I understand that they play a part. They are a part of the big picture.
Okay.
And therefore, I don't judge. I do judge, but I don't judge without trying to understand, if that makes sense.
Right on. I got you. I'm with you.
I just don't go off the whim and just straight judge.
Right.
Judge is also a part of the equation.
Okay.
So what I do is try to get to the bottom of understanding if I can. Now, if I do make a judgment, I think that a lot of people overlook this. It's not the judgment in itself. It is the action behind the judgment that is crucial. I think it also most impactful. A lot of us go out through our day just judging other people all the time within ourselves, which is fine. That's a part of just being us. But
no, that's not a part of being us. A judgment is a program behavior. We were taught to judge. It's not a part of being us. It's a program behavior. So for me, all programs are going to put a spotlight on it. That's not normal behavior. You were taught to judge, but I just had to just jump in. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if that's the way you look at it. But for me, I think that we are all judged. If you get to a point of right or wrong or what's best or what's worse, you're judging from my point of view. And I do speak, and this is the way I just talk, and this is the way I see it, is that we all judge no matter what. That's a part of life. It's like, hey, am I going down this path or the other path? And that's just judgment. That's a part of it, but it's our actions that's behind it. And for me, when I judge, I try my best to get to the understanding of it. If I'm at a place where I cannot
Let me say something. Because you said we all judge. And you're right. 98% of the population judges. But where did it start? We learned how to judge. It's not. It's the universe. We all do it. I'm working on practicing eliminating judgment. Eliminating judgment. We all do it. That's a program statement. From where? Where do we start judging?
And so do you think you can eliminate judging? I mean, is that something that you think you could do?
Or even are interested in doing?
Or interested.
So for me, I acknowledge that judgment is a part of a program, if you want to put it like that. And I'm deemed the program as the universe. The universe acts in its own way, it as it intended, and we are doing that as human beings. And that is a part of our program, just as it is the universe.
Now, do you think the universe wants us to rise up to another level of consciousness, or do you think the universe says, "Okay, you judge, and let's go with that"?
Yeah, that's what I was pointing to earlier. We have it because the universe provided it. That's no way else to look at it, right? If you look at the universe created everything, it provided it for us.
Okay.
So it is a tool. It is a use.
And so let me get it straight. I wanted to ask a question. Do you believe, though, that you could rise above the judgment by tapping into the universal mind, or that you just will, that a person has to stay within that level that they were programmed?
It's not so much of the program that's impactful. It's acknowledging that the program is a part of it,
okay.
But moving forward.
But do you think? But do you think you can rise above it? That's what I want to know. Is it? Do you think the universe is calling us to rise above? I know. I understand. I understand that you said the universe, the judgment is a part of the entire program, and it's a part of the universe, and so forth. But I'm asking, do you think the universe wants us to rise above that level or just remain there?
No.
No what, sir?
We cannot rise above it.
Okay. That's what I want to say.
And I say that because that is a part of the universe. There is no rising above. I think that is a programmable outlook to seek out the positive in things and leave behind what we deem as negative or hurtful to us. That, for me, is programmable. Acknowledging and understanding that it is a tool that provided, that it in essence provides, you know, this perceptual experience, you know, it's acknowledging that's with reason and mitigating within it. So what I mean by mitigating within it is that we are always passing from one polar to the other. So what we're doing is we're just highlighting one polarity of extreme, and that is the positive, and not acknowledging the other end as a part of what the universe has provided us in terms of growing. So when we look at the positive all the time or transcending, that is a idea that we created to stimulate that more strive for the positive in life. That's okay as well. But at the end of the day, people forget that there's another part that offers that contrast of the experience in its entirety. So what a lot of people do is...
Hold on. Okay, I understand what you're saying. I really don't want to cut you off. I really don't. But when I speak, when people speak with we, I can't speak with the we. I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for someone else. And I now I'm understanding what you're saying. So you're saying rise above judgment or both sides. In other words, judging is okay. Judging is normal. And I'm here to say that that's not my perspective. When I'm judging, I know it's a program. And when I'm judging, you know, the universe the sun shines on the serial killer, on the Pope, and I, my practice is to practice, and it's not easy not to judge. And yes, when you say rise above, I get it. But yeah,
I'll just throw my two cents in. I believe that there's a higher mind. I believe that we can tap into that higher mind. And I mean, knowing that there's no free will, knowing that, you know, how the mind develops, and then knowing that there is a spiritual mind and there's a human mind, I believe, and I accept your belief that, hey, that, you know, that's a part of the program. I mean, that's a part of the entire universe, and that judging is a part of it, and we flow with that. And I just happen to disagree with you, and because I believe we, you know, the whole purpose of the experience is to continue to rise. I mean, to a higher level of understanding and to be accepting of all of it. So I mean,
I understand both, and I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you how to talk or speak or in whatever way. But for me, in essence. I don't disagree with any of you entirely, but what I'm getting at for me is that if the universe provided it to look at it as transcending from to a higher place or a better mindset, for me it's saying in its essence the universe didn't provide enough.
Uh-huh.
And for me, at baseline, this perception, this experience in itself is entirely enough. But that's just me.
Right on.
But,
well, I appreciate your opinion, you know, and I listen, if you're inspired to take it to another level or to remain there, hey, I send you all the blessings.
And let me say this too, because who was that person? Hold on a second. Who was that person, Sid? I'm trying to remember. Jesus, that's right, Jesus. And this isn't anything religious or anything, but there is a very one of my favorite stories. Poor Jesus, he didn't want to be crucified. He didn't want to be tortured. He didn't want to be nailed to a cross. I mean, that wasn't his will. He's tussling back and forth. No, thank you. But that was his destiny. And when he's on the cross, being ridiculed, tortured, stabbed. This guy says, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's rising above the programming. And, yes, I want to rise above the programming. Yes, I want to be that example. That's when I say I want to be. I practice. Universe, how do I get to a place? How do I practice forgiveness of all? How do I practice acceptance of all? So Jesus as a teacher, as an example, getting to that level, what is it? Love your enemies? What other lessons did he say? What other lessons? So all of it, rise above. Yes, I want to get to that one. I practice. In fact, if you're talking about goal or intention, that's it. To be a human example of the universe while I'm in this human form. To be a human example of the universe, which is forgiving. There's another famous story, the Amish. I've talked about this before. The Amish had this man come in and murdered maybe about 10 or 12 of the children. You can Google it. And so the Amish, what they practice is forgiveness. The world doesn't practice that. That's rising above what the world practices, rising above it. And the parents of the children that were murdered went to the parents of the man that murdered their children, and they went to the funeral of the man that murdered their children. The other famous true story of the Green River Killer, Green River murderer, serial murderer. And, of course, I think he murdered 60, 70 women. You can Google that, too. In fact, look up this YouTube. Look up serial killer crying. Yeah, serial killer cries. And it's about 2 minutes. And, of course, this guy murdered all these women is being sentenced. And the families of the murdered women are there hating, you know, I wish you rot in hell, burn in hell, you're a monster. I mean, all of this vitriol and hate towards him, and there was this one man whose daughter was murdered. And he said, you know, his name is Gary Ridgway, who's a serial killer. He said, you know, Mr. Ridgway, I understand these people are angry, he says, but I practice something different. I practice what God instructs me to practice, and that's forgiveness. He's the only man he's the only one of 10 victims' families, justified, of course, that wasn't cursing at him, and said, I forgive you, Mr. Ridgway, I forgive you. And you know what that serial killer did? He started crying. Forgiveness. Yes, I want to rise above. I want to be that person that can forgive, that will forgive, that practice forgiveness when the world doesn't. Yes, I want to rise above. Lord have mercy, I'm on fire here. Jesus, what a great, great, great show. Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm hungry now. I need something to drink. It's too early. It's never too early to celebrate. Woo! I do want to rise above. Yes, I want to be a human example of the universe. That's it. That's it. And the practice will continue until I breathe my last breath. That's all of today's show. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Woo! Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. I'm on LinkedIn. My Instagram handle, I don't know why I couldn't post on Instagram today, is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel is a work in progress. The book that I'm writing now is being edited as we speak. Program for Unhappiness. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. Did I say hell? You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself whatever moment you're experiencing, accepting it all. Be your own best friend. Remember, this is a quote from Abraham, Esther Hicks. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, energetically, Rebecca Norrington. Remember, happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you're going to find and the more peace you are going to experience in every moment. Every moment reflects on what you practice. Rise above. Let's rise up. Have a great weekend. Thank you both. Thank you, John. John and John and Mary Kay. Thank you so much for your contributions. I'm overwhelmed. My left hand is on my heart. I appreciate both of you, and I appreciate your perspective and your contributions to the show. Thank you so much. Have a conscious week.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
I'm back to spirituality. the newest spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Yeah.